This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in King County?
Federal Way is dealing with an alarming string of crimes. A Sunday morning shooting where the victim died marked the third shooting in just 4 days. Previously, we saw a 14-year-old girl and a 17-year-old boy injured in a shooting. Both thankfully survived. So what exactly is the plan to tackle the issue? Joining me on the line is Federal Way Mayor Jim Farrow. Mayor Farrow, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get to the solutions part of this conversation, what can you tell us about the string of shootings?
Okay. So we've got three. The first happened on Wednesday with a 14-year-old girl that was shot. She was there to witness and observe a prearranged fight with teenagers. An 18-year-old suspect who's now in custody showed up from out of town. And when he appeared, to my understanding, when it looked like he was outnumbered, he took out a gun and started firing. So that, again, was a prearranged situation where two other individuals were actually going to be, or that individual and one other male were scheduled to or prearranged to have a fist fight. So that was Wednesday. That suspect is in custody at this time. And that suspect was from out of the city. What happened on Friday was we had actually five police officers at Wild Waves on extra duty over at Wild Waves. They have an opportunity for extra patrol and extra off-duty work. So in the midst of having five officers there outside the Wild Waves, had another situation where some young people, the individual that got shot, got into some dialogue with some individuals in a car, and some verbal dispute broke out, and shots were fired purportedly from the car. And again, this was pretty much when Fright Fest was finishing up over at Wild Waves,
yeah.
And there were a lot of people over there. And again, there were all those police officers that were standing right there. So then on the early morning hours of Sunday or Saturday night, you had two individuals, and I don't want to go too far into the details because we've got investigators, tracking leads down. But it was over off Dash Point Road, the Chevron there at about 312th and Dash Point Road. Usually at that time of night, a very, very quiet location and a gas station. I can't think of another business that would be open in that part of town in that immediate vicinity other than the gas station. You had two individuals that were part of the victim car and two other individuals that encountered each other. And again, it was sort of like what occurred the night before where you had some sort of verbal, altercation that had, these parties don't know each other. These three incidents are completely unrelated. But the individual who was a passenger in the second car was shot and killed for no reason.
Yeah.
I could tell you this, that we're going to track these people down. We're going to, identify them, track them down, arrest them, and hold them accountable in a court of law.
Well, on the surface, it sounds like gang-related activity. Is that something that's being considered?
But this is not formalized gang structure. This is really just young people, exchanging, some sort of back and forth, and somebody gets disrespected and they want to open fire. I do want to tell you this. The homicide that occurred, the murder that occurred at the gas station, is the first murder in Federal Way this year. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that, we are doing our absolute best, because I believe our number one, two, and three priority in the city of Federal Way is the safety of the city, and we take it very seriously.
Yeah, and I get that, right? And I think you made a similar comment to Cairo TV yesterday that, look, raw numbers don't suggest a narrative that Federal Way is inherently a dangerous place. But as you know, someone who lives in the neighborhood finds out about a third shooting within a matter of just days, a narrative does develop. And so from your perspective as the mayor of Federal Way, what is being done to tackle the criminal issue that you guys are clearly facing?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, let me just say this, that I would send word out to every young person who's in school, don't leave school to go to a prearranged fight. And don't stand there and be a bystander and you know, take pictures of what you of a prearranged fight. I think that's probably starting there. Number two, you know, and nobody deserves to be shot. Nobody deserves to be a victim of a crime, and that certainly is bad. But, you know, I think we need to make sure that when young people are supposed to be at school, they're at school, period. The second thing is that, you know, with regard to wild waves, you know, I think, you know, imagine this. We had five officers who were literally standing there. I'm not sure what could be done to prevent somebody from driving by five officers and opening fire. That's, you know, somebody, whoever's in that car has made a decision to do something simply because they were insulted.
But that's about, it is about, with respect, just on one point, Ms. Mayor, just, you know, going after the underlying cause, which is kind of why I asked the question about whether or not this is gang related or really if this turns out to be, you know, a drug deal gone awry. Sure, in the moment, there's not much more you can do other than having a police presence. But the question then becomes, okay, what are we doing to go after the underlying causes of why someone might join a gang or might be engaged in a drug deal?
You bet, you bet. Well, first of all, none of these involve drug activity. None of them. Period. And the second of all is there's no formalized gang structure. Our understanding is that the individual at the Wild Waves incident was, you know, throwing some gang signs. He was walking through the parking lot and he did something that was demonstrably sort of, you know, did some signs. And that was enough, apparently, for the individuals in the car to produce a handgun and shoot him. And now that individual lived, but, you know, that's certainly, you know, while somebody maybe make a gang sign, I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, I don't know what, we don't know who's in that other car. We don't know. I can tell you this, that when we had, remember what happened 3 years ago? We had those three homicides in 36 hours. Mm-hmm. And that was perpetrated by really one person along with a few of his friends. And those individuals are in prison now. You know, one of the things we did is we pulled together the Violence Prevention Coalition here in town, and we had a number of recommendations. I think you're absolutely right, Jason Wood. You're absolutely right that before somebody gets in that car, before somebody picks up that firearm, we need to make sure that when a young person is starting to show signs of going off track, there's got to be an intervention. And that's why, you know, we got money from the legislature, you know, for, you know, community outreach programs, why we put in our budget last year to make sure that we've got youth engagement programs to where if people are starting to go off track, you know, there are people around them, family members, community members, friends that can say, whoa, 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 hold on. You know, don't get in that car. Don't associate with those people, because some people have just made the decision to go off the deep end and do bad things. And we need to make sure that our young people are not making those decisions. But we need to also tell our young people, if you're aware of some sort of prearranged fight or a prearranged situation, do not go to events like that. That's where that kind of violence erupts.
Well, and I will say this, and you're right, there 100% needs to be a plan to get to these kids before they get on that wrong path. But at the same time, Mr. Mayor, it does kind of sound like you're downplaying the potential gang issue in Federal Way. I mean, whether or not...
I got to tell you what I know. Here's what I know. What I know for a fact is that the young person who was shot at Wild Waves showed some gang signs, and he paid for it by getting shot.
Yeah, that's gang violence.
In the face. You're right. Well, we don't know. I was a prosecutor for 19 years, Jason, okay? 19 years. I only say what I can prove and what I know. And what I'm telling you is we don't have these people in custody. We have not named a suspect. So I can't tell you. I'm going to try to tell you what I know to be true, not what I suppose.
I appreciate that. It just seems like in the context of, what was it, Vario Locos was at least at one point in the recent past, pretty active in Federal Way. You've got United Lakotes. You've got a whole bunch of different ones. And they're not all necessarily coming from the Federal Way area. Obviously, you've got surrounding cities, whether we're talking about Kent or Des Moines or Burien, that's been dealing with gang violence. It seems like I get your point. You don't want to say that we've got a whole bunch of gang members out there committing these crimes because you don't yet know that. But at the same time, you are competing with a lot of people who live in your city who are saying, you know what, it feels like we've got a gang violence problem that's spiraling out of control, and we don't want to necessarily name it as a gang violence problem. And I'll let you have the last word on that.
Well, actually, what I want to do is really, really compliment you on your level of knowledge in regard to the local, you know, the gangs that you mentioned. We actually, you know, 2 years ago, we actually had an ongoing gang war in South King County that started over some ridiculous thing like graffiti.
And it was teenagers. Yeah, and it was teenagers, right? 15 to 17 years old.
That's right. And then as a result of that, I think you're spot on, and you're absolutely spot on in regard to, you know, those two groups that you mentioned were involved in that spate of violence 2 years ago. And, you know, that's why we pulled together the mayors and police chiefs of South King County and said, where are these people? Who are they? Do they have warrants? Do we know we can go pick them up and pull them off the street? So good to you, you know, good on you for knowing getting down to the granular level of what's going on with the gang violence. And I can tell you this, one of the things I watch very carefully in town is graffiti. And so in regard to the ULs and the VLs and the things that you're talking about, we have noticed in the Sereno, one of the things we have our gang, my directive is a graffiti, as soon as we see it, it's cleaned up immediately, no longer than 24 hours. And I have seen an uptick in some, Sereno and UL and VL graffiti around in that center core of downtown. We take it down immediately, and we make sure that the gang unit has it. So our gang detectives here in town. And so that's something that we keep a real close eye on. I know that our gang detective and our regular detectives are watching this very carefully, and we have a lot of intelligence about what's going on. So that's what I'm trying to figure. We're trying to get the details of what happened at the Chevron, but I can tell you just a verbal exchange. I mean, there was no robbery, there was no drug deal. It was just a matter of someone feeling disrespected and producing a handgun and forcing the other person to pay the ultimate price.
Totally. So, I'm just saying that, you know, in most cases where gangs are not involved, when that happens, you usually don't have a gun getting pulled and fired, right? So that's the only thing. I appreciate you giving us some time, and I appreciate you trying to take a deeper look at exactly what's going on. And you know what? You've got a lot of people who live in Federal Way are counting on the leadership, not just from you, but from the council and from the Federal Way Police Department. We wish you the best of luck. Because the one thing that no one wants to have happen, any more shootings, particularly of kids.
Well, I can tell you this. We're going to get down to the bottom of this, and we're going to figure out. And in fact, when we do, I'll come back on your show, and I'll give you all the details, and I'll let you know if we did track it down, if it was gang or not gang or whatever the situation is. But I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. We've been talking with the mayor of Federal Way, Jim Farrell. Mayor Farrell, thank you so much for stopping by.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. If you want to go behind the scenes of the show and behind the scenes of my Tucker Carlson interview later today, follow me on Instagram. Fire up the Instagram app. Search for the screen name Jason Rants. It's one word, JASONRANTZ. I'll be posting some video later on in the show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So there was a story out last week that was getting a lot of attention, and I was out on vacation, so I didn't get the opportunity to talk about it, but I didn't want to let the opportunity go to bring up a point that I don't think was made, at least not in a meaningful way, by the media here in Western Washington. Al Franken, former senator, was in town. He was on tour on Friday at the Paramount. And because of the new allegations against him, which we did, by the way, talk about a week or so ago, where he apparently grabbed the backside of a former Patty Murray staffer, a lot of folks wanted the Paramount to cancel the tour. Now, one of the people decided to show up outside of the Paramount on Friday. Her name is Catherine Karcher. She's a UW student. She led a small protest, according to Cairo 7, which caught some of her messaging on Friday.
Al Franken has legally committed sexual assault. And Al Franken is a sexual predator. And anyone giving money to this event is supporting that.
And we're seeing a lot of men who have been accused of violence having these weird comeback tours where they think that what they have done can be erased.
So that's an interesting point to make, and she is very much in her right to stand out and complain and protest with whatever message she wants. But a part of the folks who were calling this out did so in a way that I thought was abusive of their power. King County Council members Gene Cole Wells and Joe McDermott. Cole Wells, who I think refuses to come on this show. She always has a reason to not come on. Joe McDermott, a friend of the show. He has come on many times. Both of them wanted the event canceled. Both of them spoke out and said they wanted the event canceled. And they both used their positions as council members to put out statements, press releases, using, at least in Jean Colwell's case, her official Facebook page to call for what amounts to censorship. She said on her page, Franken does not deserve a space at one of Seattle's most historic and treasured theaters. And by the way, such a dumb comment. So does he deserve a space at a bad theater that you don't have any sort of historical ties to?
Yeah, give him the trash.
I know, Inman Theater, can we, Benaroy Hall, where exactly can we put, is that not, let's throw him in Kent? Is that what
the Auburn on the Ave, they have a theater down there. Well, then great for it.
Go to the Federal Way Convention, like, let's throw him over there. But at the Paramount, no. She continues, for him to appear in our city just days after it was revealed that a former staff member of our own U.S. Senators has credibly accused him of groping her right here in Seattle would be a slap in the face of this woman and our entire community. It would be one thing, and this is my favorite part, so now she's really leaning into the censorship or the content control. It would be one thing if this were a tour of contrition and remorse, but it is not. This is a man capitalizing off his celebrity that has only been enhanced by his alleged continued wrongdoings. Alleged, by the way. Including assaulting a person who served our state in public service and our country in the armed forces. This is a very, very troubling position for a sitting council member to take. She's not doing it on her own. She's not making these comments as a private citizen. She's quite doing the opposite. She's using her position, as is Joe McDermott, as an elected official in a position of power to ask a business to not allow an event to go forward because she doesn't like the content. That is a very clear abuse of power, and virtually no one said it. No one said it last week. Now, I noticed on Facebook, because I'm friends with Lincoln Beauregard, who is a very prominent attorney here. He and I disagree on politics, but he put something on her Facebook page that I agreed with. Basically saying, this is not kosher for you to be doing. This is inappropriate, using your position of power. And she responded in a way that was so completely, completely wrong. She goes, it appears you believe I do not have a right to express an opinion, which I did in making my request. I did not take any action to have the event closed down, which would have been censorship. She's just flatly lying. When you put out a statement from your office saying that Franken does not deserve a space, that he should be canceled, that it would be one thing if the content was a little bit different, you're clearly calling for censorship. But there's so many people in this region that don't want to side with Al Franken because of what he's accused of. There are also, by the way, a lot of people who are on the left who point out that he had no due process whatsoever. I don't like Al Franken. I'm also concerned, I suppose, with the due process rights. But you know what? We're working in a world in which Franken and his side created these rules. And the rules that are unfair that he created resulted in him losing his Senate seat. He was pushed out. He was forced to resign. And now he's sleeping in the bed that he made. But this is one step too far, and I think all of us should speak out against it. I don't care whether or not Jean Colwell's or Joe McDermott have a point in not allowing this person to capitalize off of his celebrity based upon what was alleged to have happened between him and some other folks. Okay, fine. But then your issue is not with Al Franken. Your issue is with the people who show up to his event. And my assumption is going to an Al Franken event in Seattle, probably progressives, probably Democrats. I don't know how many conservatives are showing up for that thing. So if you have an issue, take it up with them. Because there are a lot of people who don't support what Jean Colwell said.
I think it's kind of a character assassination to go after him for this.
That's one person who went to the event. Here's another, again, talking with Cairo 7 TV.
When they pick someone like Al Franken as the poster child for kind of the Me Too, I'm thinking there are so many people to go after, and he's paid a big price for it.
He has. He has paid a very, very, very big price. Now, maybe that's what's supposed to happen, given what he's accused of. But let's be clear about something. One thing, regardless of your position on Al Franken, that should be accepted, that should not be controversial, is we don't get to allow people in positions of power to push for censorship. It is illegal. And I am surprised and, frankly, annoyed that this entire story last week wasn't given that specific angle any kind of mention, not meaningfully, at least. This is what happens when I take time off.
How dare you?
Who else is going to keep these people in place and point out the obvious if I'm not here?
That's it. You got to cancel your next trip.
God damn it. No, but I'm going. I already bought the ticket.
Man, it looks like I'll go and we can find the fill-in producer.
I am not sending you to London.
Why?
Because you've been here for like 3 days.
Oh, it'd be
so
cool.
You don't get that. Although I do give amazing gifts for Hanukkah.
I'm excited for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And can I celebrate?
I am allowing you to celebrate.
Thank you.
Why is Hanukkah the best gift-giving holiday? 7 crazy days of fun gifts.
7?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Hanukkah was 8.
It is, but I don't give on every single. I can't give you all those days. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you a throwaway gift, but it's going to be a throwaway gift. Why can't you just be happy with 7? God, you're so selfish. No, don't even say. You're just a selfish person. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline.
Bellingham, Bellevue, Shoreline, Tacoma.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Olympia, Everett, Mercer Island.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept of the Big Local is very simple to understand, in my opinion. You see, the media here, hyper-focused on the city of Seattle. So hyper-focused that they end up ignoring a lot of the stories that are impacting our communities. And so we ignore Seattle and we spend our time instead talking about where you live. And before we get on to some of the meat of the topics, I want to read to you a short email that a retired police officer sent our way. We've been having the conversation about crime in Federal Way. And it seems very obvious to me that it's a gang violence issue, despite for some reason not wanting to call it that. When you tell me that someone flashes gang signs and then gets shot, that to me indicates gang violence. Now, call me crazy, but that's what makes sense to me. And so Mike sent us an email that said, we moved out of Federal Way over 2 years ago because of the rise in violent crime. The homicides alluded to by the mayor were within a few blocks of our home, and the last straw in a series of political decisions made by the then city council that put progressive political ideals ahead of public safety. Now, if you want to send me an email, you can do it at ktth.com. But he makes a really good point, and I've made this point talking about the city we don't talk about during this segment, which is you've got some people who refuse to use the term gang violence or gangs because they feel that it is some kind of microaggression against communities of color, which seems rather absurd to me, rather out there. Now, I don't know if that's what's going on in Federal Way. Jim Farrell, the mayor, seems like a good person. I'm assuming that he's going to do as much as he possibly can to take care of his community. But we are starting to see more and more of that, and I feel like we can't fully address a problem if we're unwilling to identify the problem. And again, it seems rather clear that this is gang violence. We talked about the story 2 weeks ago in Tacoma, where their spokesperson over at the Tacoma PD, Loretta Cool, who I adore, I think she does an amazing job. I think all the cops do amazing work all across the state. But she didn't want to admit that there was gang violence issues. That, oh, no, they just happened to be members of gangs committing violence. But it wasn't gang violence. And then we had Jim Farrell talking about, you know, they're not an official structure. It's kind of a, well, does there need to be a gang quorum at their meetings? Do they have to take official notes and have bylaws? These are gang members committing acts of violence. That is gang violence. That's gang violence. And unless you're willing to call it out for what it is and properly identify it, you're not going to get to any solutions. And we're going to have another story next week, or maybe even before then, of another kid getting shot. I'd like to stop that from happening. I'd like to catch the bad guys who are doing this. And it's so important to address the root causes of gun violence. And in this case, it's gangs. So go after it. Meanwhile, in Olympia, business owners there of the salon Gatsby Parlor de Beauté, they say someone left a hateful letter on their window because they were displaying at this business a gay pride flag, an LGBTQ pride flag. Kelly Taglis is one of the co-owners. She read part of the letter to Como.
It says, attention, you are in violation of natural laws of decency. Please remove your gay flag from your business facade.
Oh, well, that seems intense. I mean, don't you just hate it when people push values of decency? Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're dealing with what seems like a bigot. She says her windows have been damaged twice now.
It was completely blown out. It's gut-wrenching to see this because we just replaced this window September 7th. So it hasn't even been a full month.
Now, Q13 says instead of taking down their flag, they're doubling down and tripling down. The co-owners, Kelly and Jesse, say that no matter what, they won't be intimidated, and so they're putting up more gay pride flags. On top of that, the group Capital City Pride, which puts on the gay pride parade every year in Olympia, they have set up a GoFundMe account to help pay for the broken window.
It's not an isolated incident, but it does come as a shock that something like this has happened. We put this fundraiser together, and we raised over $1,600 as of right now, just as kind of a show of support.
So let's put this story in perspective, because there is a tendency to take stories like this dramatically out of proportion. And I say that as someone who actually is gay and a member of the LGBTQ community, as much as they don't like it that I'm a conservative. This case is probably one dude, not an army of people, but one person with a bigoted perspective. The army of people are actually the community members who are supporting this business, who have come out and said, you know what, we're going to raise $1,600 to help you. We're going to come out and put gay pride flags in our own businesses or in front of our own homes. We're going to support you by showing up to your salon. That's the army. That's the majority. The minority is the one person who's acting out like a lunatic. If you are mad with a pride flag because you think it represents a violation of natural laws of decency, yes, you are a bigot. You're a bigot. I believe there are a lot of people out there who disagree with me on LGBTQ issues, and that's okay. I think for the vast majority of folks, you're not taking a position with any nefarious intent. I think you're taking a position based on maybe a religious belief that you have, maybe a misunderstanding of an issue, or maybe, you know what, you're perfectly clear on it and you still don't like it. Okay. You get to have your opinion. I get to disagree with it. But if you're someone who believes that simply putting up a pride flag is somehow a quote-unquote, a violation of the natural laws of decency, that is a giant red flag to indicate you're a bigot. The person is one person, and that's a bigot. Now, with all of that said, Saul Spady this morning on his show, which you should check out weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., he made a very, very astute point that I'm going to steal. Where was all of the support coming to the Edmunds Bakery? That Edmunds Baker, we spent a lot of time talking about it. We spoke to him on the show. He put out a cookie that said, build this wall. And folks on the left were outraged. They were calling for boycotts. They didn't stand up for him. At some point, finally, when the story got out and people realized what was going on, they decided to step up and get behind him. But Saul made the point this morning that the media coverage of both of these events, the baker with the Trump-supporting message and the salon with the LGBTQ-supporting message, both didn't get fair treatment. In this case, in Olympia, they're victims, yes, and they're treated as such. But when it came to the Edmunds Bakery, oh, it was all about the controversy. I mean, is he really a victim here? Because he was kind of asking for it, for holding a view that we don't like. That was the difference in how those stories were treated. And it was very interesting about all of that. How about this? I support the Olympia Salon as much as I support the Edmunds Bakery, because they are victims of people who hold intolerant positions, in one case against the LGBTQ community, and in the other case against conservative thought, or at least Trump's conservative thought. They're both victims. And they both deserve us stepping up and saying, we're not going to allow this in our communities. You get to hold opinions politically on anything you want. You get to do that. And we're not going to call for these ludicrous boycotts. And likewise, you can fly a flag supporting the LGBTQ community if that's what you want to do, because it doesn't impact us at all, you showing support for a community. Shocking consistency. And then finally, I'd save this for last. Just say it. Say it.
You want me to say it?
You can say it. Yeah. SeaTac is the worst.
I was going to ask you, what's your favorite place on the face of the earth?
It's SeaTac Airport. So I was on vacation Thursday night. I had some meetings I had to attend on Wednesday and Thursday, which is why I skipped the show. And on Thursday night, I decided to go to Vegas. I went to SeaTac Airport. SeaTac Airport is the absolute worst place in the world. I've been to a lot of airports in this country and in Europe. SeaTac is the worst. We're now at a point where the pre-check line, which you have to pay $80 for, is just as long, if not longer, than the regular line. So the only thing you're not doing is taking off your shoes or pulling out your laptop. That's literally the only thing that's different now. So I paid to not take out stuff from my bag or my shoes off or my belt. That's what I'm paying for. The line was just, it was insanely long. I posted photos of it on my Twitter feed.
You want to know the secret? The line that has the drug dog, That's for quickness.
You said that, yeah.
You don't have to take off your shoes or take out your laptop.
I didn't see any dog. I didn't see any dog. And by the way, don't put a dog in front of me that's adorable and then tell me not to pet it.
Yeah.
What? How dare you?
It's a lose-lose. I'm glad you're bringing this up, though.
Yeah, there's no place to sit. I went to the Alaska Airlines gate. It was completely full. No place at all to sit. And then on top of that, you know what they do inexplicably? They decide to talk on the intercom at the exact same time, right next to each other. So you got one gate that's going to San Francisco, and then you got then the other gate where I was going to Vegas. The Vancouver announcement started. 4 seconds later, the Vegas announcement started. Can't understand anything anyone is saying. They're talking at the exact same time.
I told our listeners that you would come back with a great SeaTac story, and
it's just the worst.
I should have placed so much money on that.
You should have. That would pardon the pun, because I went to Vegas. You could have put a bet. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, you should download it immediately. Don't forget, tonight at 9:40, I will be on Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox News. We're going to talk about the story you and I chatted about last week, which is this belief in some schools that math is racist. Yeah. It's absurd. It's as absurd as you would expect a story like this to come out of Seattle. So we'll be talking about it later tonight at 9:40 on the Tucker Carlson Show. If you can't tune in and watch it as it happens, don't worry. On Facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show, I'm going to post the video of it. Matt Driscoll in the Tacoma News Tribune, he's awful. He manages to botch up, in this case, what I think is an interesting story, because he just wants to use the story as an opportunity to talk about how woke and tolerant he is, instead of actually telling the story, which I think is actually worth telling. For some reason, there's a Tacoma escape room, and the company's called Fright House Square. They've got a new themed room that's open. And for those of you who don't know, escape rooms, you're locked in a room. It's a set, basically, like a movie set. And there are a lot of clues around, and you got to figure out the answers to the questions and use the clues to basically find out how to escape the room. Hence, escape room. I've never actually done it, mostly because it sounds just awful to be locked up in a room with people you don't really like, trying to figure out, you know, the answers to tough questions. But in any case, in this case, they've got the new themed room that's causing some controversy because it's called the Underground Railroad, which is not a good look. And they say, the folks behind it, they're all like, okay, we're doing this with some purpose. We're doing this because we're not talking about slavery. We're talking about something else. It's kind of absurd and convoluted, but instead of focusing on that particular aspect to it and why it might be wrong, why the optics are clearly not positive, Driscoll just talks about how amazing he is for a white dude. I mean, he's pandering to the point that it actually kind of seems racist. He can't really explain why it's wrong, but he just knows it's supposed to be called wrong. So he just tells us how disheartened he feels. And if only everyone was as tolerant as he is. So let's push that aside and let's focus on this advertisement, which Driscoll says is just as bad as you might think, which is, get through 6 mazed out rooms so the Confederate side don't find you. Oy. Advance to the next level without being killed in the battle. Return to your loved ones once more. The Union is waiting for you. Now, it doesn't mention slavery at all, but clearly, when you're talking about the Underground Railroad and the Confederacy, you're going to be thinking about it. Yeah, it just seems inappropriate to kind of commandeer, if you would, this part of history to make it into a game in which you're not going to even address what everyone might be thinking. It just seems weird to me. And when I was reading this in the TNT, I was like, there's got to be a story behind it. And apparently there is. I don't think it's a very compelling one. Robin Clark is the chief operating officer at Escape Fright House Station. And he told TNT,
initially, we had named it something else. And that was what it was built out to be. But unfortunately, we had a cease and desist order put on it because of a copyright of a name. So, since, and that if you notice, the era is still the same era. Uh-huh. How do you get, after spending $73,000 building something out, how do you change it without spending another $73,000?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that you can change it without spending another $73,000, and you can certainly not call it the Underground Railroad. It does seem to me more prudent, before you go ahead and name something, to make sure that it doesn't violate any copyright, you know, patents or whatever is out there, because it doesn't say what the original name was. You can't do a quick search to make sure that you're not violating someone else's intellectual property?
To rebuild it and call it something else.
Yeah.
So basically, it's what can you call something without having a copyright infringement?
Uh-huh.
That was one thing after months of research that, okay, this fits the era. It's not a copyrighted thing. It's an entertainment venue.
Now, the question is, do you want to turn the Underground Railroad and the Confederacy into an entertainment venue? Now, ultimately, you know, the folks out there get to decide on their own. I don't want them to take it down because it might be offensive. But it's certainly a bad look. It's in poor taste, whether or not that was the intention. Now, it just seems like this could have been avoided. This is not, in my view, a PC police issue, right? I think that would we all be annoyed and sort of taken aback if it was called the Holocaust concentration camps? Yes, of course. It's not to say it's got anything to do with political correctness. It's just there's some things that are and are not appropriate. And this doesn't seem appropriate.
Okay. It's not saying that I'm tone deaf. Okay.
Well, it's saying
it's just a name, you know.
But it's not just a name. We wouldn't just call it the concentration camps. You could have something during that time period and not call it that. Yeah. It is about the tone deaf nature of all of this. You could have called it literally anything else other than the Underground Railroad, and I'm assuming that you could have found something that was era-specific, history-specific, that isn't so tone-deaf or is in violation of some kind of copyright infringement.
And we're giving you a little bit about history. We're only dabbling into one portion of that. We're not going into the whole, you know, 12 hours of, you know, what this actually entailed.
Oy. Yeah, it sounds like they put themselves in a position to be mocked. I don't think there was any nefarious intent, but it does seem weird that you're doubling down on what I think most people, most reasonable people, would say is not an appropriate name or sort of historical event to turn into an entertainment venue. But, okay, you know what? Here's the deal. The people who are in the market for escape rooms, because I know that there are some in the area. I believe there's one in Redmond, for example. The people will ultimately decide. My sense is you're not going to get a whole bunch of folks who are interested in going to the Underground Railroad at Fright House Square because of the content. That's my general take, and I'm happy to have those debates without talking, you know, the way Matt Driscoll talks. He could not explain why this is inappropriate, in that it trivializes an important event, right, and co-ops a history that is very, very sad and disgusting for the United States in dealing with slavery, and it kind of diminishes or trivializes the plight of slaves in that era. He couldn't do that. He basically, Matt Driscoll, I really don't like Matt. I can't believe people aren't as enlightened as me. We got it, Matt. You've got a bunch of space that you need to fill, I guess, in your column every single week. You're competing with Danny Westneat over at the Seattle Times to talk about who's the most woke white dude. We got it, dude. But, you know, why don't you focus on the issue and a little bit less about yourself? By the way, speaking of which, in a totally non-ironic way, don't forget to tune in to Fox News tonight at 9:40, where I'll be on with Tucker Carlson talking about how math, I guess, is racist in Seattle. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. One more hour coming up right here on AM 770 KTTH.